Good morning, everyone. Well, I'm excited to be back in 1 Corinthians as we continue our verse-by-verse study through this book. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we continue our study this morning. We've been looking at chapter 12. We've slowed way down to really dive into some very important topics concerning the Holy Spirit and His gifts. That's the title of our study here, little mini study as we go verse by verse through this great book. We come this morning to the gift which Paul calls discerning of spirits in verse 10. I'd like to start out by reading verses 1 through 11 just because it's been a while since we've been in this study. We kind of had some interruptions with holidays and our vision tour to the Middle East and update last week. So it's been almost 4 weeks now since we've been together here in this great chapter. So if you'd stand with me this morning for the reading of the Word, if you have your Bibles, open them and follow with me as we stand in God's presence in reverence to His Word this morning. Chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to dumb idols," or the word is mute, "idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and our text this morning, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And Father, we do, Lord, stand in awe of Your Word. God, we come as Your church, as Your people, as Your children, as born-again individuals. We come to You to drink from the water of life. You promise that if we drink, Lord, we won't thirst again. As we come to, Lord, You, we pray that You'd equip us today. You would transform us. You would use us, God, for Your glory. You would open our hearts and our minds to this idea of discernment. And God, make us a discerning people. And God, we just thank You and praise You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to remind us, as I often do, what we're doing right now. We're not just going to church and doing church, but we are studying God's Word together. This time of our service is committed to, here at Calvary Chapel, the study of God's Word. Why? Well, because that's what you do in church. No, because we need God's Word. Because we are here as people that need to get equipped in the Word of God so we can go fulfill our purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to go and to make disciples and to share the love of Jesus Christ through sharing the clear-cut gospel message, to be a witness of Jesus in this lost and dying world. So, of course, our theme as a church, our mission statement, if you would, in this room is equipping people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. Of course, we got it plastered on the wall, it's on the bulletin. That's what we're here to do. And of course, as we exit these doors today, we, as it says over the doors, now entering your mission field, it's right here. And so we want to understand what God's Word says, and we want to learn. And here we come to spiritual gifts. Now, we've slowed way down, and next week we'll finish up this section up to verse 11, and we will speed up from there as kind of the flow of the text will take us a lot farther. But we've slowed down because Paul said in verse 1, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And there's so much ignorance today in the body of Christ concerning spiritual gifts, either the lack of spiritual gifts, the not being present, not being active in the church, or even not believing they should be to the extreme of them being so active that they're out of place in the church and they're not what God has intended. Of course, Paul, as he writes a corrective epistle here in 1 Corinthians. He's correcting, really, for them, how they're misusing and misappropriating the gifts, and he gives some guidelines for them to follow, and we look forward to getting into some of those. Here, he's just kind of bullet point listing off the different gifts of the Spirit. Now, the Corinthian church had Paul for almost 2 years, and so Paul had taught them about these different gifts. And of course, he begins to list off these gifts there in verse 8, you know, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles. We've all looked at these. We did a study on each of them to another prophecy. And then we come this morning to the discerning of spirits. I think that today there's a great misunderstanding concerning this gift. There's not a lot really talked about this gift. It's just something that I hear Christians talk about. Like, you know, I hear the phrase, well, my gift is the gift of discernment. Well, I want to help try to define what that gift looks like in the Bible. And, you know, kind of really be clear on what it is and what it isn't. I can tell you this, that the gift of discerning of spirits is not a critical spirit. You know, sometimes those that say, I have the gift of discernment. First of all, there's no biblical gift called the gift of discernment. There's a gift of discerning of spirits, and that's important. We'll understand as we go through this text, what is he talking about? It's not the gift of judgment. It's not the gift of being critical. But it's a gift that God has given to certain individuals in the body to discern what spirit someone is of. And I think that's important for us to understand. In fact, as we think about the word spirit, and here he uses the word spirits, what is he speaking of? Because there's a multiple kind of layer of spirits. Well, if you are following on your outline, you'll see 1, 2, and 3. There's three main spirits in the Bible. There's the human spirit, there's the demonic spirit, and there's the Holy Spirit. These are three different spirits that we find. And I believe Paul is speaking about that God is giving to some individuals in the body of Christ, as he says in verse 11, distributing to them according to his will this gift to discern. This is of the Holy Spirit. This is of a man's own heart, the human spirit. When we think about the human spirit, that's what it would be. This man's own heart is his human spirit, or this is of a demonic spirit. Obviously, we get into some sensitive territory when we begin to kind of judge, you know, the motives oftentimes or the intentions of someone. But I think things will be very clear as we study here today. Now, just kind of by way of introduction, we today as a nation, as a country, well, we need, if we just take that general word discernment, we need discernment. Right, Greg? Greg's laughing down here like, that's an understatement. We need discernment. Some would say we just need some common sense, and the two actually go together. But we need discernment. There's a lot of information out there. There's a, you know, even as Greg was sharing about voting, like, you know, and there's a huge table. It's not a little table, by the way. It's like long. Like, there's a lot of information to decipher through, to discern. But as a church, we need discernment. We need to understand what is of God what is not of God. The word discernment literally means to distinguish, to decide, or to judge. If you're just writing a definition of the Greek word that we're looking at here that Paul uses for discerning of spirits here, it simply means to distinguish something, distinguish what spirit it is, to decide, to judge. And of course, the word judge, a lot of times when we think of the word judge in the church, we think of where Jesus says, "You shall not judge." Now that's the word more of condemnation. That's not the word here. It's not a judgment unto condemnation. It's a judgment unto a decision. Of course, we make judgments all the time. We use that word, making judgments. You know, we might say, "I made some bad judgments this week," or "I've made some bad judgments in my life." That means that I've made some mistakes, and I shouldn't have made those decisions. So that's what it is. It's the idea of deciding what is of God, the Holy Spirit, what is of the enemy, the demonic spirit, what is of man, the human spirit. And so that's here what Paul is talking about. You know, for me, it's really helpful to see what it is not. So the antonym of this Greek word, there's a couple of them in the Greek New Testament. And the antonym of discerning is deceit. That's the antonym of discerning, deceit, or delusion, or error, or ignorance. So four different antonyms in the Greek language of this word. So the opposite of the word discerning is deceit. The opposite of the word discerning is to dilute something, to lose its potency, to err. It's exactly, instead of being right, it's wrong, or ignorance. It's interesting, Paul says, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. We need to discern how the Spirit of God is going to move, how the Spirit of God is working, and if indeed it is of Him. And so what I want to do, we've done this in some of our past studies here, looking at the different gifts. We've kind of looked at the general sense, like for instance, when we did the gifts or the gift of faith. We looked at faith. There's a general faith that all believers have, and that's what I would want to focus on, that everyone possesses this faith, of course, a saving faith. But then there's a special faith, and that's what Paul's talking about. When we come to the discerning of spirits, there's a general discernment, and then there's a special discernment. And so we want to break those down. So number one this morning, I titled it scriptural discernment. This would be more of a, if you're taking notes, maybe putting next to scriptural discernment, you might write down general discernment for all believers. This is something that every single Christian possesses and should possess. It isn't a special gift that I have, that you don't have, you have, that I don't have. But this is, in a general sense, we need scriptural discernment. And I just want to talk about discernment. Because a lot of times when I hear someone say, "I have the gift of discernment," they're not actually talking about the gift that's mentioned in the Bible. Because that's the discerning of spirits, and it's very different. But just this idea of we need discernment. We need good judgment as Christians. And how do we get that good judgment? We get that good judgment from being familiar with Scripture. I think this is really important for us to understand. Listen, Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He said this, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." Well, what Paul here is saying, he's saying, first of all, a very strong statement. He says that we need scriptural discernment lest we be taken away and fall away from the Lord. Because what is coming is deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What is a deceiving spirit? A deceiving spirit is someone who's deceived. Again, this could refer to the human spirit when it speaks about spirit here. Someone who has been led astray. And there's either those that are leading people astray purposely and they're deceptive. And then there's those that are deceived themselves and they're leading people into the deception that they've fallen into. And we find both kinds in the Bible. And then, of course, he says doctrines of demons. Of course, the word doctrine just means teaching. Teachings that are demonic. But of course, they don't come out and say, hey, I'm the devil here. Let me give you, the demonic teaching. But they come posing themselves, as the Bible says, that Satan can transform himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 declares that. And he can come. He's a counterfeit. I mean, he's the master counterfeit. He always counterfeits what God does. So he brings lies. He brings error. In the name of truth, we need to be discerning, obviously. And so this is a reality. Jude says it this way. He warns the believers in Jude verses 3 and 4, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you and exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith which is once delivered to all the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. He says, listen, I found it necessary to write to you to cause you to continually contend for the faith that was once delivered to all the saints. Why? Because there are deceivers. Well, they're coming in to the church. They're not just out there in the world where it's very clear, okay, you're not of God. You're not declaring to be. No, they're declaring to be of God, and they're deceivers. And notice it says they've crept in unaware, unnoticed. We need discernment. We need discernment to discern these things. 2 Peter chapter 2, which is, by the way, a parallel to Jude, the book of Jude. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says it this way, but there will also be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will, look at the word again, secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on them a swift destruction, and many will follow their deceitful ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Not only are they coming, but many are going to follow them. We need desperately today discernment. The church needs discernment in such a great way. Now, many scholars believe that what Paul is doing in our text here is he's coupling prophecy and the gift of discernment together, just like he goes on to couple tongues and the interpretation of tongues. In fact, if you look over at chapter 14, you'll see tongues and the interpretation again coupled together in verses 27 and 28. And then in verse 29 of chapter 14, you will see that he says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. It's kind of the idea of the discerning of the Spirit is the others judging. By the way, the word judge here is our word discernment. So this is where they get that. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. We'll look at both of these verses a little bit in a second. But it says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecy. Test all things, hold fast to what's true. Again, they see it as a coupling. Don't despise prophecy, but test prophecy. And so this idea of testing would be that discerning. And so some would say that's all Paul is speaking about, just testing prophecy. I don't see it that way. Of course, I'm not alone in that, and you know, the commentary world, scholarship world, not that I'm a scholar, I think a little broader of an interpretation here. Though obviously the direct context would be yes, prophecy has to be judged. I mean, Paul makes that clear. Prophecy needs to be, any word from the Lord. When anytime anyone says, you know, the Lord spoke to me, the Lord said this, we ought to test that. They ought to test it. We ought to test it. Obviously, if it's someone saying, I got a word from the Lord for you, you're like, okay, I want to be open. I want to hear a word from the Lord. That's awesome. But I also want to test that. How do we test it? Just in a general sense, how do we test it? We test it with Scripture. Always. And listen, as we seek to determine and to understand different things going on in our world and our lives, determining the will of God, decisions that we need to make, it's the Word of God that's going to direct us. It's the Word of God that's our guide. Hebrews says it this way, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those that are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. And here's our Greek word discernment. Same Greek word, exercise to discern both good and evil. How do we discern between good and evil? And what's really he talking about? Well, the will of God, what's of God, good, and what's of the enemy? What's of man's spirit, the demonic spirit? What's of the flesh? What's evil? How do we determine these? Well, Paul tells, or whoever writes Hebrews says, that the way to do that is to be skilled in the word of righteousness. Notice he says that the babe here that needs to be taught, he says, the first principles of the oracle of God again. Unfortunately, there's much of the church today that is still in an infancy stage. They're still infants. They're still babies. And what is one of the earmarks of a child? Lack of wisdom. Lack of discernment. They're not good with judgment. I was downstairs between services, and one of my good friends down there has been a part of our church forever, is holding his daughter. We were talking, and I noticed his daughter had tears. So after a while, as we're talking, I said, you know, what's the tears about? And he says, well, there's cookies over there. And all of a sudden, she got really hungry. You know, Martin, you do that too, don't you? Yeah, you and me both. You know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm starving, I'm dying, you know. And Dad's like, no. The judgment for a child to make is very hard. My grandson just left. He was with us for a week. We were so blessed to have him. He just turned one. I got him a basketball. You know, come on. You got to indoctrinate them when they're young. And right? Brooke and I got him a basketball. Okay. I was getting a look back there. So Brooke and I are indoctrinating. So when he's a superstar in the NBA, it's because Brooke went shopping with me and I paid for the basketball. Anyways, he's got this, and and there's a hoop. My neighbor's got like a hoop out front, you know, in the street there, you know, in the big hoops. And so he gets the basketball and he just starts, you know, walking over there. And he just wants to go out in the street. And it's like, no, you can't go out in the street. Doesn't have the judgment to know when you can go in the street and when you can't, because he's a babe. He just, you know, we didn't take him to the meat night, you know, because he can't eat meat yet. He's still eating milk, drinking milk, I should say, not even eating, just drinking milk. So many Christians are like that. They're just running out in the street and whining about cookies, crying. Why don't I get cookies, you know, and tears coming down their eyes. And we need maturity. And how does that maturity come? The maturity comes through the Word of God. Through not just knowing the Bible. So I know a lot of Christians that know the Bible, but actually don't do it. When push comes to shove, they don't do it. It's like you know all this. You've been in church for 20, 30 years. You've heard these things, but we're not applying them. That's what he's saying in verse 14 there of Hebrews chapter 5 here, he says, solid food belongs to those that are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good, both good and evil. The senses, I love that phrase, senses. It's like you have spiritual senses. And when we think of discernment, that something that I have a spiritual sense about something, and that I'm able to determine the will of God and my will. The will of God and the enemy's work. I'm able to determine these things through the Word of God. So we need this foundation. And we need to grow. We need to be mature. So there's a general discernment that the body of Christ should have as we just understand and know the Word of God. I'm sometimes a little amazed of the things that the teachers that people follow. They say, yeah, I'm following that and listening. I'm like, really? Are you serious? Do you realize that guy's a heretic? You realize that guy is you know, just a deceiver? Like, what are you, like, what? Yeah, of course I'm not like this with him. What's your problem? You know, but I'm, in my mind, I'm like, just shocked. I'm just shocked how easily they quote the Bible. Hey, we need a little discernment. Again, that isn't to say that we want to be critical at everyone, but we want to be wise and discerning. Listen, one of the work of the Holy Spirit, not a gift, just the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, is that he's a teacher. John says this in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 26 and 27. He says, these things I write to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Okay, so we want to listen. This I want to write to you about those that are trying to deceive you. He says, and that's the context he had just got done saying, but then he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will also abide in him. Now, what's really important for us to see here is, I've heard people use this verse saying, well, see, I don't need to go to church. I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need, you know, a pastor. I don't need a body. I've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and I were, you know, really good friends. And he teaches me and we're good. That's not what he's saying. He's saying against heresy, there is a general discernment. This is to all believers. There's a general discernment that the Holy Spirit's going to give you, that you don't need someone to teach you, but you already in your heart know this is not right. You ever been in that place? You heard something? You maybe listening to something on the radio or the TV, and you're like, you know, it sounds good, but it just something's not right. That's the Holy Spirit. He's just kind of warning you. John says in his gospel, in John chapter 14 and verse 26, quoting Jesus, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And what Jesus here is promising is the work of the Holy Spirit is a work that God is doing in our hearts and in our lives, and he's a teacher. He's going to guide you. We need to seek the Lord. God, give me wisdom. God, give me discernment. It's a time and day in which we live. John says in 1 John going on, you know, John in his epistle, he's dealing with what I would call pre-Gnosticism. I'd say pre-Gnosticism because Gnosticism, by the time John writes, I don't think was in full swing, but it was developing. And he says this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Notice he says, don't just believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this we know the Spirit of God, speaking about someone prophesying, someone declaring the Word of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now already is in the world. Now, don't think the word Antichrist means just the ruler at the end. John has already said in John in chapter 2 of his epistle here that there are many Antichrists, meaning someone that is trying to represent the Messiah. That's the word Christ. Someone who is false. There are many false Christs. There are many false saviors. And he says you need to test the spirits whether they are from God. Don't just believe everything. And he said one of the things, and this is dealing with pre-Gnosticism and Gnosticism, is they confess that Jesus didn't actually come in the flesh. And we see all kinds of forms of this still today in all kinds of religions. That Jesus didn't actually, wasn't born with a virgin birth from his mother Mary. That Jesus didn't grow up. Jesus didn't live. He didn't actually, wasn't 100% man. He didn't die on the cross and rise again in a body, in a physical body. He says, listen, if anyone says that, they're not of God. So there are these keys that you can use to know, no, that's not of God. That's, and we today, because of course when John's writing, the New Testament's coming together, we today have the whole canon. And today we examined with the Word of God, no, that's not of God. Because, well, if it's contrary to Scripture, he's not of God. They're not of God. Of course, as Paul says, and I already quoted it to you, but 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 through 21, don't quench the Spirit. He says, don't despise prophecy, but look what he says, test. Test all things. Now, this isn't a gift. What I'm trying to point out and lay this kind of foundation as we will in a minute here move into the actual gift of discerning of spirits is a little different. This is general. And I just want to take the opportunity this morning as we talk about discernment just to remind us we need to be a discerning people. And the way we're going to be discerning is through scriptural discernment. We need to know the Word of God. How do we test if something is of God? The Word of God. Testing is important. Jesus, when he is speaking to the seven churches there in the book of Revelation, and in chapter 1, the first church there is the church of Ephesus. He says in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus writes, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstands. This is Jesus in chapter 1 of the book. Verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear with those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Listen, Jesus commends the church for testing. Jesus says, you guys are doing well. And notice the list there that he gives in verse 2. I mean, I know your works. I know your labors. I know your patience. I know you guys are walking in holiness. That's great. And you guys have tested those. So these are all positive things. Of course, Jesus will go on to say, but one thing I have against you, you've left your first love in verse 4. That's the message here. But here we find it's good. It's important. So don't just go, well, hey, they said it. I mean, the pastor said it. He said, I don't care if myself, Paul said, or an angel from heaven comes, preaches any other gospel to you than the gospel which we preach to you. He says, if they do, let them be accursed. The word literally means damned to hell. It's kind of, it's a really strong word in the Greek. Of course, that's from Galatians chapter 1. You know, that's crazy. Listen. It's important for us to judge prophecies coming out, things people say, teachings, whatever it might be. Again, we read it already, but it fits here. Chapter 14 here of 1 Corinthians, verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. This is the model, this is the order Paul gives of prophecy in the church. We'll get to it in chapter 14 as he lays out. This is how, like when someone speaks in a tongue, someone needs to interpret. If there's no interpretation, let them keep silent, he says. Listen, when someone prophesies, let let one or two of those prophets speak. The others, let them sit and let them judge. How do we judge? We judge by the word of God. In fact, Paul himself was commending believers for judging him by the word of God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, he says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Of course, he's talking about the people in the city of Berea. We call them the Bereans. In that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Such a great word. Listen to what Paul's saying. And here's a balance of the idea of being discerning and not critical. Notice they received the word with all readiness. They weren't like, Well, we're skeptical, you know. But it says they received the word. Paul was sharing with them. They received it with all readiness. There's two things to this verse. And they searched the scriptures to see if these things are true. I think the phrase that Ronald Reagan used as he dealt with the Russians when he said, trust but verify, right? I see some of you quoting it, trust but verify. It's actually a Russian proverb. He didn't make it up himself. I don't want to burst your bubble, but those of you that love Reagan a lot, you know, he didn't make it up. Actually, one of his historians told him this was a Russian proverb. In Russian, it actually is a proverb. It rhymes. And, you know, trust but verify. That's true. It's like, hey, we want to trust you, but we want to verify what you're saying is true. It's not like we don't trust you. It's like when our kids, you know, when they're teenagers and they're, you know, we're questioning them on something. Did you really go there? Did you really do that? Really, what's going on? And, you know, you hear the phrase, Mom, Dad, don't you trust me? Well, my wife's answer was always pretty emphatic. No. We don't trust ourselves, nor should you trust yourself. But, of course, do we trust our... Yes, you know, that's really speaking to the sin nature, right? Hey, don't trust yourself. But... No, yeah, we trust you and we believe in you, but we're going to verify. And there's nothing wrong with that. And in the church, we want to trust. We want to receive the word with all readiness. We want to trust, but we want to verify that it's true. And so we are to examine it. We are to judge it. So that's general discernment. Huge need in the body of Christ today. Man, I wish Christians would with a humble spirit and with a readiness to receive the word, search the scriptures to see if these things indeed are so. Well, we come then to the gift of discernment, and point two is supernatural discernment. That's what the gift of discerning of spirits is. It's a supernatural discernment. You could say out of this world discernment. It's a God-given gift to individuals. Not everyone has it. There's some people that don't have it at all. But again, we all ought to generally have scriptural discernment. Of course, the more we know and understand and follow the scriptures. But then there's that supernatural discernment God gives you at times. And it's a gift to the body of Christ. Remember, it's not for you. If you possess this gift, the gifts are for what? The profit of all. It's the protection of the church. Of course, this is a gift that leaders really, really would benefit by having. Pastors, shepherds, I mean, their job is to oversee, is to watch out, is to be able to kind of discern things before they come, to understand what spirit someone is of. You know, when I'm counseling someone in a very just simple way, this is a gift that's really helpful. Like, hey, that's not, you know, necessarily of God. I'm not saying it's of the devil, but I think it's just maybe of you. That's kind of what Jesus, we see this in the life and ministry of Jesus, this gift of discerning of spirits with Peter. Matthew chapter 16, we actually looked at this verse last week, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, this is awesome. Jesus is saying, Peter, just so you know, this is the discernment. this isn't of you. That's not of your human spirit. Remember, we want to be very, very particular here when we talk about the discerning of spirits. Jesus is saying that, Peter, I want you to know that this isn't of your human spirit. This confession you've made is of the Holy Spirit. It's from the Father in heaven. Well, just a little bit later on in the chapter, in verse 22 and 23, you know, Peter takes Jesus aside privately, and he's going to rebuke him because Jesus is saying, I'm going to the cross. And there in verse 22, he says, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. It's always laughable contradiction. Lord means master. It's like, no, master. Just doesn't kind of fit. But far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man. Now, what is Jesus doing here? Well, Jesus is discerning what Peter is saying, where it's from. What spirit is it of? And it's interesting because Jesus here says, get behind me, Satan. Do I believe that all of a sudden Peter was possessed by the devil? No. What happened here is Peter is using his own spirit, his own reasoning, his own feelings, his own person. And he had a plan. Peter's plan was not Jesus to go die on the cross. It was to Jesus overthrow the Romans. And he was going to be the big dude next to him. And Jesus just shattered his plan. We've all been in that place. We're trying to determine the will of God and things are falling apart. We're like, no, this can't be of God. That's where Peter was. This won't happen to you. This is not of God. Let me tell you, Jesus, what the will of God is for your life. That's exactly what Peter's doing. But what Jesus recognizes is that though it's not Peter necessarily being possessed, it is the devil using Peter in his own spirit to begin to stumble Jesus from the will of God. Satan will do this often. He'll use those that we love so much and love us, and they genuinely care for us, and just in their own wisdom and their own feelings and their own thoughts, they'll say things to us that the enemy's using, and we need to be aware of that. Notice he says, get behind me, Satan, and then notice he says, you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man. So Peter, your issue is your mind is set on human things, not spiritual things, but Satan is using your humanity to stumble me, to be an offense to me, to turn me away. We need to be very discerning when we are, you know, seeking to hear the word of God, to hear the will of God for our lives, and we need to be strong in that. And so this gift is helpful. In the book of Acts, we see the gift used a few times as just kind of as we wrap this up and think through this. Let's think through a few texts in Scripture where we practically see the gift of discerning of spirits manifested. Acts chapter 8, you have Philip the evangelist who comes to the city there of Samaria, preaches the gospel. He has interaction with this sorcerer there, and this sorcerer confesses his sins, repents, and is baptized and becomes part of the church. God's great, incredible work. And then Peter and John hear that the word of God's gone to Samaria. They come down there. They lay hands on the people that are getting saved, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. And we pick the story up in Acts 8, verse 18 through verse 24. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that on anyone whom I lay my hands might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to understand that Simon is his name, Simon the sorcerer. This is how in his former life, in magic, in witchcraft, this is what they would do. As a sorcerer, they literally have books. And they're like spells they'd give. And they would buy them. They were secrets. and you'd sell them. And so he's like, man, this is a cool one. The power of God just fell on these. I want that. And so, you know, it seems innocent. To me, it seems like, you know, just innocent in the sense that this is the guy's past, is where he came from. He's like, wow, hey, how much does that one cost? And Peter, though, I believe is operating in the gift of discerning of spirits when it says, and Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Verse 21, for you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. So notice what Peter does here, using the gift of the discerning of spirits, and I kind of have it in, you know, a different color there. He says, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. And now he's like, you know, you go, wait, the guy's judging his heart. Well, the Lord gives him discernment. Of course, his actions are there. But he says, listen, your problem is I discern. Yes, you believed. Yes, you were baptized. Yes, you did all the right things. But your heart's not right in the sight of God. And he says, and here's your problem. He's you know, dissecting the dude's heart. He says, your heart, it's bound up. It's poisoned with bitterness and bound up with iniquity. You're still in your old man. And it was a discernment that Peter had that Philip didn't have. Philip had baptized the guy. The guy was moving on, following Philip, being a part of the church. And there's a discernment that he has there. Well, another event we find in the life of Paul in Acts chapter 13, Paul's first missionary journey. In Acts 13, verses 6 through 12, Paul comes to the island of Cyprus. He comes to the capital there, Paphos. And it says, and when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Paul and Barnabas, for Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood him, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, this is where his name is switched, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, and I always chuckle when I read this, verse 10, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And he goes on to curse him. Now, we looked at this when we looked at miracles. This is a miracle. Miracles, remember, aren't always healings. This certainly wasn't a healing. It was the opposite. But he says, listen, you're full of deceit and fraud. Now, you might read this and say, well, wasn't the guy a sorcerer, a false prophet? Isn't that obvious? Well, we don't know how much information Paul had on this guy. I mean, he just comes to this island. Of course, Luke's writing later, and he's filling in gaps and details. But he comes to this island. He comes to the governor of the island, intelligent man. He starts to share the gospel. This guy's trying to prevent them. And then it just says, Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. And he just looks at the guy, and he just calls him out. And this is very much the gift of the discerning of spirits. This guy's of the devil. He calls him the son of the devil. Well, another example for us, which I think one that's very practical, is in chapter 16. Paul goes to pray there in Philippi with his team there. Acts 16, verses 16 through 18, it says, and it happened as we went to pray that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, now listen to this, listen to what she's saying. These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now, this is an interesting story. Why? Well, this girl has a great message. So there you are, some local girl is coming along, promoting your ministry. These are servants of the Most High God. They proclaim to you the way of salvation. Listen to them. That's great. Well, maybe it was in the beginning. Again, I don't believe Paul knows she's a sorcerer and all this stuff beforehand. They just go to prayer. This girl shows up. But it says, note the phrase, Paul greatly annoyed. Those little annoyances. Now, don't make an excuse for being annoyed, okay? This isn't like, you know, I'm annoyed with my spouse, my kids, my coworkers, my boss, whatever. And I just have this discerning of spirits. Okay, don't go home and do that. It's not going to work. And if you come back to me and say, Pastor Trent, protect me on it, I'm going to rebuke you, okay? You know, we need counsel because I discern my wife has, a spirit of herself, the human spirit working. No, that's not what we're talking about. But it is interesting to me, on a serious note, that sometimes it's like, I don't want to be judgmental. I'm loving. I'm, I trust, but verify idea. But there's just something that's annoying me. Maybe the word annoy might be the wrong word. Something's bothering me. Right? That's what the word means. Something's just not right. And I'm just sensing something in my spirit that something's not right. That's the gift of discerning of spirits. What do you do with it? You pray. It's interesting. This girl followed Paul and the team around for many days. So it wasn't like, I'm like, okay, I got to think through this. Like, because if I'm going to say something, I got to know that it's of God. And I want to be careful. But sometimes it's just that simple, sometimes we're waiting for like just this, Holy Spirit, Acts 2 fire, like a mighty rushing wind coming through the room. But sometimes it's just that little, like what we call, right, the still small voice, we use the phrase check in my spirit. It's just something's off. And when that is, start investigating, start verifying, start praying, start saying, God, what is it? Listen, I would encourage all of us to listen to that check. Listen to it. I've always regretted not listening. It's just, it's fine. But there's just something. That's why waiting and going slow and decision-making and slow in relationships and slow in partnerships and whatever is always wise. Always wise. And so we see this, just that discerning of spirits. It's of the Lord. Now, this is such a great gift for leaders to have. We want to pray today for our leaders that they would have the discernment of spirit. Paul told the elders in Ephesus when he was departing from them, he says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 31. He says, therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourself, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn every one of you night and day with tears. The role of a shepherd, the role of a leader in the church, a pastor, is to watch. That isn't a judgmental thing. No, I can tell you, no pastor in our ministry here, because trust me, if there was, I'd rebuke him. He's going around, we're trying to sniff, we're not looking for trouble. But it is our responsibility to watch the flock and to protect the flock from savage wolves that would come in and not spare the flock. A wolf coming in and taking out sheep. That is our responsibility. We will stand before God. When maybe something's going on and you might be involved in something and a pastor is saying something, you're like, I don't understand why he would say that. Just trust but verify, okay? Don't just jump to conclusions. There's probably a reason he's saying that. He's doing that. Because, and remember, he knows more than he's going to tell you. Why? Because we protect. Even wolves we protect sometimes. Not knowing they're wolves, maybe. Just you don't just, search, whoa, this person, they did this, this, and this. You got to understand. Like, you got to just trust. Of course, and verify. Okay, now I'm going to think through this. But I'm not just going to jump to conclusions. We oftentimes emotionally do that. Also from, he says in verse 30, among yourselves men will rise up and draw away disciples after themselves. There's a discernment we need. There's a discernment we need to go like, that's not right. That might look right, like look like a discipleship group over there. It looks like everything's good, but there's something off there. And we need to trust, but we need to verify. And it's so important. Listen, God loves us. God loves his people. Christ died for us. That's what he says. He says, there, take heed of the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You and I have been purchased by the blood of Christ. We are God's precious children, and God wants to protect his children. God wants to be with us, and he wants to guide and lead us by his Spirit and give us those gifts as the body of Christ, these gifts. As we close today, we want to make sure every one of you are a part of the body of Christ. We want to make sure every one of you have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. It's not an option. And that means that you confess your sins, confess that Jesus indeed is Lord, that he has come in the flesh, that you believe in the gospel, and you've turned from those sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Have you done that yet? Have you done that in your life? Today, are you walking with the Lord? Today, if you died, are you confident that you'd be in heaven? Are the people around you that know you well, are they confident, oh, this person is a genuine follower of Jesus, a lover of God, that you would be in heaven? We want that. You can have that assurity. That's what the Bible teaches. You can be absolutely certain, contrary to what the Catholic Church might have been teaching. If you grew up in the Catholic Church, listen, you can have the assurity that when your faith is in Jesus Christ, that you're saved by grace through that faith, and it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's his grace on our lives. But we have to turn. We have to put our faith. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray today. We want to give you an opportunity today to do that, to call on the name of the Lord. We're going to do a couple songs of worship just to close our service out. We're going to invite those that would like hands laid on them to come on up front for the gifts to be given. We see in Scripture, in the pastoral epistles, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, through the laying on of the elders' hands, that gifts were given, spiritual gifts were given, and so we want to pray for spiritual gifts. Where are you today? Would you like spiritual gifts in your life? Would you like more? Maybe even to stir up that which is maybe laid dormant in your life or where you've doubted. And so we're going to have our elders and our pastors up front here laying hands on people that would come up. So if that is you, I want to encourage you, as the worship starts, come on up and just wait, and we'll lay our hands on you and pray for you. Listen, I want all that God has, and I know you do too. Let every, like, God, I, of course, here I am. Yeah, you got something that you want to give me? Oh, I want to receive it. And if today you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you're not a genuine follower of Jesus, you can come up too and just say, hey, I'd like to receive Christ, and we'd like to pray for you, and we'd like to help you in what that is to be saved, to call on his name. Today is a day of salvation. And so we want to encourage you to respond to the Lord and to come and receive salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your grace. We ask, God, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon us today. We love you, God. We thank you that, Lord, today, Lord, indeed is a day that you have made. Your word says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we want to do that today. We want to rejoice. A new day, a fresh day. We call this the Lord's Day, Sunday, the day we come together as your church in our corporate gathering. We pray that you would give gifts. Give the gifts of your Spirit. Pour them out upon us. God, we want them. But Lord, most importantly, we ask that you'd give the gift of salvation to those that don't have it yet. You would help them to be bold to make that first step, to come forward, to receive life in place of death, hope. Father, we ask that you would pour out your grace through your Spirit, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand as we worship?